Blog Talk Radio.
CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussions.
You can't shame me.
Yabba dabba, bitch.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're the Modern Stoney's family.
Yeah.
From the town of Bedrock, they're a place right out of history.
Can't shame me.
That's right, with the family down the street.
Yeah.
Through the courtesy of friends and feet.
Yeah.
Ouch. That was brilliant. My brain. That is actually the appropriate sound effect. Jim Williams, I wish you were here to accept that win. But, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this is the North American Wrestling Connection. We are on the road to WrestleMania. My name is Nikki Heyman. And I have a few of the usual suspects in the room here with me. First, taking a bite out of the Big Apple, that'd be Jason Block.
Yeah, the road to WrestleMania has been filled with tweets, twits, and just a lot of nonsense, but it's been great stuff. I'm loving it.
Let's see, and hailing from the Great White North would be our lovely lady, Trista Timpson.
Yay! I like WrestleMania.
And I heard somewhere on our last line, is that you, VRM?
Yes, SmackDown takes a back seat in the first few weeks of the March because I'm too busy watching the hockey playoffs. RPI wins 4-2, game one, yes.
Well, SmackDown's only going to be touched on tonight because I've got quite a stack of stuff to go over here. And we're just going to start with that nonsense we just heard that opened the show. And I mean nonsense in the absolute nicest way. Because John Cena and The Rock can promo the daylights out of each other all the way up to Mania without having to touch each other. However, this creates just a little bitty problem. I've got Miz over here doing a Christian going, hello, WWE champion over here. Kind of the third wheel in this wondrous feud leading to Mania. I don't know. Jason, can we just get somebody else for Miz and let Rock and Cena beat the crap out of each other?
I'd love to do that. I'd love to see that, actually. Because, honestly, the Miz has been, you know, To take a phrase from him, he's been awesome in his championship run. And now all of a sudden, Rock calls out Cena, Cena calls out Rock. They go back and forth, and Miz is going, hello, McFly, anybody here? And he's being booked as an afterthought, and it's not looking that great for me.
And seeing that as an afterthought, Trista, do you think that they're booking Miz wrong?
Absolutely they are. Absolutely. When his last pay-per-view match was against a 60-year-old man, like, come on, no one's going to take a champion that seriously. Like, good for you. You just beat up someone who was 60. Like, why shouldn't he have won that? They're making him look like a joke. He's doing well, like, with what they're giving him, but as far as making him look like a legit champion goes, it's bullshit.
Which leads me to a final thought on the CRM. Would you book Miz away from Rock Cena, or would you try to get Miz to get in the middle of it all?
Well, I think I'd want to stick him in the middle, get him to go after both. That way we have that way you get the two heel face thing, and then have Cena turn heel at Mania. But still, if you book him away from it, then who are you going to put him with? Trips is in a program with The Undertaker. Sheamus was ultra buried. Who else is there in the main event on Raw?
Punk's involved with Orton.
Punk and Orton have their own little program going on right now.
Right. Duh.
And I will go to that in a moment because I just want to say Joe Mo, who wasn't even on the show on Monday.
Boo!
Yes, this is a horrible, horrible travesty. And I say boo the WWE.
Boo! Oh, wow!
Whoa! But yeah, John Morrison's about the only other person you could probably get into a program with Miz right now for Mania.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people upstairs that are thinking that's not Mania worthy, even though these guys have put on killer matches Night of Champions on, including that huge Falls Count Anywhere match at the beginning of the year. I'm just saying, these guys can put on a Mania worthy match. Just me.
They could, but I think at this point, going into WrestleMania, I don't think there's enough time to have the bill that they deserve to have that WrestleMania match.
I think Trish is 100% right here. They blew it at the Chamber by having Cena win. Because the right move at the Chamber should have been Morrison winning after his Spider-Man splash on, I believe it was Sheamus, correct?
Sheamus.
Okay. Have him win, take on The Miz, and then Rock and go on Cena, and then we'd be all as wrestling fans saying, great, no problem here. But having Morrison being left out in the cold and The Miz going, you know, twiddling his thumb playing Twiddlywinks while The Rock and Cena, you know, go back and forth with killer promos back and forth. What do you do from here?
And
what do you think?
I realize that, yes, we do have a dedicated pay-per-view, but Money in the Bank is just a cheap way to get 8 to 10 guys on the card like that. And if you throw Jomo into the Money in the Bank, he wins what was essentially a unbranded briefcase, which means he could sit on it for a while, prop his feet up, mounted on the walls of the Palace of Wisdom. Or he could go out there and, you know, after Miz somehow beat Cena, ha 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 ha, I know, that's wishful thinking.
High hopes.
Don't feed his ego.
I realize that, but couldn't you just see it where Miz is celebrating the fact that he finally got his comeuppance on Cena after almost 3 years, including the short feud where Miz actually dressed as Cena, and while he's sitting there holding the belt and looking up at the sky, that guitar chord hits. There'd be nothing left of me. There would be absolutely nothing left of me.
I think a good portion of the female audience would just melt away at that point.
It's one of those things where it would either turn out amazing or it would just completely fall flat.
Hmm.
He had just won. Thinking hypothetically, blah, 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 okay, there is going to be a Money in the Bank, okay, John Morrison is going to be in it, John Morrison is going to win it, and he is going to cash it in at the end of the night. I just don't think that's enough build for his first title run. Not shooting down anyone's idea, but if this were to happen, you know, like, what would the reaction be to that? Like, obviously right now he's one of the most over guys on the roster.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Ready for him? Or is, like, the crowd ready for him to be champion?
I don't know. Jason, you were going to say?
I was going to say, because The Miz has been marketed as such a total douchebag, anybody who beats The Miz for the title is automatically over. And I think Morrison was going to pop. I do.
But to tie it all back to the whole Rock and Cena mess right now, Miz is about this tall. He's about this tall. This poor guy, you know, he's going to have to go borrow Jimmy Hart's megaphone to make sure that he's heard in this feud. And when Mr. Hart shows up, he probably won't be very willing to relinquish it.
What do you think? Can I throw a question in? What do you think The Miz, or what do you think The Miz should do to make himself heard?
He needs to pull a Jericho like he did after he won the Undisputed title. I just finished his second book, so this is
great book, by the way.
Fresh. Great book, absolutely. But he needs to do what he did, and when The Rock's going out there and he's saying his things, and then Jericho's like, no, like, you're not going to treat me like this. Like, damn it, I am the champion, and you will listen to what I have to say, because at this point in time, I am better than you. Like, that's what The Miz needs to do. He's already wearing suits. He's already got short hair. He's blonde. He's kind of good-looking. He's already got the Jericho thing going down. He just needs to make the same impact that Jericho made. But then by doing that, he's basically being a Jericho clone, because... So there's, like, that whole thing going for him, too. They're putting him in a tough spot right now by having him as champion, but not having him in the spotlight where he should be.
Right. And I think that I actually think, you know, taking a page out of Jericho's book is never a bad thing. Unless
no,
you want to try to get the top spot. And that just doesn't fly with me. Let's see. What else? Let's see what we got here for some other stuff being set up. A couple people still in limbo when it comes to Mania. Sheamus, as mentioned earlier, was pretty much taken clean out of the scene by Triple H. I think this was just a quick, I don't have time to deal with you right now. Get out of my face. Eat an ounce table. A lot of people, I feel, are overreacting to what's going on with Sheamus. I really do. Oi!
The hell was that one?
I think somebody is saying I might be wrong.
I think you're right, Nikki. I'll back you up on this.
Okay, tell me why.
Because, okay, Hunter dealing with Sheamus right now takes away from the build for Triple H Undertaker. Yes, Triple H does have a legitimate beef with Sheamus, but it's WrestleMania season. He'll deal with somebody who is technically lower on the card. Because Sheamus right now is not main event. He's been slowly pulled back, slowly brought back down. When Hunter's done with the Undertaker, win or lose. I don't think he's going to go away right after Mania. I think he's going to stick around a little bit longer. His interviews are saying, hey, you know, I'm beat up. I've been through a lot. I've done everything I want to do. I still want to be able to pick up my kids. But I don't think he's ready to walk away just yet. He'll take care of Sheamus after Mania.
Speaking of picking up, there were rumors, or at least reports, that Undertaker is not in that great of a shape either. They're saying that the surgery that he had to repair his rotator cuff wasn't. Good.
I was going to say, they opened up his shoulder and went, we're not at repair anymore. We're going to need to replace that, and closed it up. So,
that's bad.
That's really bad. So, this goes back to the big complaint, oh, Undertaker should be facing Barrett and Hunter should be beating up Sheamus. Well, I think Taker is on the right track, going up against somebody he knows will take care of him in the ring. That's not a knock against Barrett or Sheamus.
And with someone that has, like, a legit chance of ending the streak, too, right? Like, that's always the big thing with the Undertaker's matches is, oh, are they going to, you know, end the streak? If you put them up against, like, a newcomer, I know Sheamus has been with the WWE for, like, 2 years now or whatever, but still, you know, relatively new, to put the Undertaker up against, like, Sheamus or Wade Barrett, they'll be like, yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, you might as well put them up against, like, Primo if that's what you're going to do. Like, you know
right.
that they would not end the streak. At least when he's against Triple H, you know that there's that slight chance.
Right. It's kind of like when we walk in WrestleMania 22 and seeing Undertaker facing Mark Henry.
Yeah. And
so.
You're going, really? Like, even with Randy Orton had a better chance because you had the whole Legend Killer thing going for him at that time. So you're like, okay, like, he's taking out this guy and this guy, and all right, you know, he has a chance of taking out The Undertaker. And it's like, Mark Henry? Really?
I was like, really? Oh, shit. Yeah, they just might. Oh, really? Oh, shit. Oh, they just might.
Yeah.
That sums up exactly my emotions through that WrestleMania when it came to the Orton-Undertaker match. What else have we got here? Let's see. Well, after Sheamus ate some announce table, they added some insult to injury and gave us back Evan Bourne.
Yay!
I've never been happier to see him. No offense to Sheamus. And was I talking to you, Jason? Or maybe I just read this somewhere. Somebody commented, I love watching slow motion replays of the Shooting Star Press.
I don't think you were talking to me, but I said this to you at about 11:30 as we, you know, wrapped up on Monday. I said, that was so purty, because it is one of the most beautiful moves. It is gorgeous.
It's so fluid.
And it's gorgeous. He just hangs up there.
And he grabs his ankles. That's so impressive.
And that's,
to have that much height and then that much time to, like, grab your ankles while you're flipping in the air and then still make it look as good as he does. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Evan Bourne. I was so mad because Raw is on a 15-minute delay here in Canada for stupid reasons. So I try to avoid, like, all spoilers when I'm watching Raw. So I went on Twitter, and then I saw Claudio Castagnoli was like, so happy to see Evan Bourne back on Raw. And I was like, ugh. Because I hadn't
gotten
so angry.
Ow, my ears.
Yeah, mine too. And that's the second time my ears have been assailed this tonight, because I got an earful of tone earlier tonight.
I haven't gotten that yet. I guess this was at the
hockey game. We were doing all the setup, and the radio guy. I had the headphones on. The radio guy did the tone test for the station, and I got it. And I'm like, ow! And quickly threw the headphones off. It hurts.
Oh no, that sucks. I've had that happen when I was freelancing. That is not fun. Let's see, where am I on the bouncing around on the card here? Ah, yes. We are finally going to get the put-up or shut-up match with Lawler and Michael Cole. Now Cole has...
Hopefully it's more King puts-up and Cole shut the fuck up!
I could only hope. Now, I'll throw this to GVRN since you are rather vocal about this. Cole has grabbed Jack Swagger as his trainer. He's spoken of the referee, but has specifically said he. I was surprised it's not going to be Vicky Guerrero. Any thoughts?
Yeah, let's see. Who is it? Who is there that he's really buddy-buddy with that doesn't have a match yet, even though he might be involved in another match later on that night, and who would clearly favor the... Oh, yeah, Alex Riley.
Oh, yeah, doesn't really have anything else to do and was fired from his personal services contract.
Oh, right, that's right, he's fired from that, so...
But I think that... I still think Colt can pull some strings. After all, he knows the Raw GM personally, right, Jason?
Yeah. I don't know if the AY knows the Raw GM personally, but I think Cole might.
What a competitor.
Yeah, exactly. So why not? The Raw General Manager anonymously hires back Alex Riley as a special guest referee.
Interesting. You brought up Twitter, and I've got to pass this along. Did you
yes.
During
Sorry.
The main event tonight, because I went and booted mine up just because.
I didn't watch SmackDown tonight.
No, Raw.
Raw. I'm trying to remember what happened. Refresh, please.
Okay, during the main event cage match.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, Miz was posting the photos up.
Miz.
I love it when wrestlers do that.
And pictures, the doofus. However, I will reiterate something that I posted on my Facebook. Your BlackBerry cannot do the considerable damage that my dear Uncle Paul's phones did back in the day.
True.
Then again, our phones can take pictures.
Take pictures? Our phones can record video and stream it at freaking at wired internet speeds.
And I'm surprised he didn't post a video, but I don't think he wants to encourage anybody else to do the same.
So you don't try this at home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you... I don't think that's going to show up in the video. That's going to pop up in the video package.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? Just a super blurry camera phone footage. Everything else is all, like, all professional and, like, HD, and then you got, like, a BlackBerry thing going on. That makes me laugh.
Let's see. Added to the WrestleMania card. Orton is to face Punk.
Yay!
And possibly some members of Punk's. But the stipulation is valid. Orton gets to beat up each of the other members of Punk's. And if they can actually beat him, they can be in Punk's corner. And Joe Henning not only got beat, but he got booted.
That's too bad.
So, I'm just going to throw this out there. Who laughed when Punk addressed Randy by his full name like he was his...
Randall Keith Orton. Oh, yes.
Oh, I wonder how many people in attendance that night went, oh, that's what RKO stands for.
I'm betting a lot, but when he said that, I'm like, good Lord, the mom defense?
Like you said, who knew? You put it to you this way, you all knew you were in trouble when you got the three names, right?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
No, I knew I was in trouble, and I just got the first two. Whenever I heard Shawn Michaels, because that's my real name, whenever I heard that,
hey.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. It'll be funny if after Mania, if Randy doesn't win, because this is the line that, like, my brothers and I always got when our parents were angry, if Punk would be like, I'm not mad at you, I'm just really disappointed. And then you're like, fuck. Like, that's when you just start, like, bawling because, like, you know you let your parents down.
Wow.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Like,
oh, my God.
That's, like, the worst thing for a kid to hear. The second you hear that, you're like, son of a bitch.
I actually got it from one of my teachers last semester. Like, the entire class got it. And you could just see everyone be like, oh, damn it. Like, it was harsh. somehow fit that in there with the Randall Keith Orton. Not mad, just disappointed. I think the whole arena would just, like, it will make Orton such a sympathetic face because
it will just feel so bad. It will induce the ultimate cringe in the entire arena. No, not just the entire arena. Everybody watching that will just cringe and, like, oh!
Grown men will, like, start crying and, like, have flashbacks of, like, college years or, like, their high school years. And...
Oh, my God, wow.
All he needs to say.
Oh, great. Now I'm having flashbacks right now.
Well, High school, first time you, like, robbed your parents' liquor cabinet. I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed in your life.
Right. Do you also know, and it's really interesting because WWE is very smart in its marketing. Of course, with this week's announcement that Kmart has become their sponsor for the year. They do very well with the teacher-student thing. Why do you think, and I've gone over this before, why do you think Vicky Guerrero gets over so well? She reminds you of that psycho teacher from fourth grade.
Or that one really annoying substitute teacher that you had that you did, like, all you could to, like, drive them out of the classroom.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And now with the whole Randall Keith Orton, now they've gone into parenting. What's next? Humiliation? I don't know.
No, we did that with the Punk's initiation.
Yes.
That was disturbing. I cringed at a couple of parts of that.
Okay, why was the Taker sound play? I'm wondering why. What?
I don't think that's the button that they want to press over there. I'm not talking about Undertaker, and I know I'd rather talk about him more. There's some technical difficulties going on that side. Let's see. I might be able to sneak one more thing in here while the soundboard's getting beat up. Okay, so Trisha, I'll throw this question to you. Do you think that Mr. Randall Keith Orton will boot all of Punk's out to leave him alone against Punk?
I kind of hope he does, because just looking at who Punk has, like, standing behind him, like, it always feels like he never has a group, you know? Like, he always makes it a point, I'm the leader, I'm the leader, I'm the leader. But then that just makes the rest of the group look bad, because it's like, hey, look, everyone else is just a sheep, you know? Like, they really, like, I think Punk really needs to have, like, a one group that's, like, unity, but he can just stick out a bit more. But not every faction, like, he's been in, oh, no, I guess, too, with the New Breed. But it just seems to be, like, of every group he's in, he always has, like, he just overshadows everyone because he's just so incredible with what he does. And I think because of that, the other guys absolutely deserve to be punted because they're not going to be as good as Punk, ever. They're boring. I hate them. Otunga bores me, and he looks green. Literally, on my TV, he has, like, this slight shade of green, like, on his skin. He looks like the Hulk, if the Hulk was kind of black.
Personally, probably just a good storyline way to get these guys who, the rest of the group who is not ready for Mania. I'm looking specifically at Otunga, and I don't know enough about Mason Ryan to really judge.
Nice accent, though. He gets Wade Barrett points for that accent. Boo.
That simply means we're just at the halfway point of our show, so we must pause for station identification. You're listening to CLW 83.
All the fun's going on tonight here on the CLW83 Network. This is Carl Schneer with a live update and promo of sorts. If any of you caught the news today that the NFL and labor talks got extended yet again to another week, there is a program scheduled for tomorrow night by our good buddy Christopher Clark. No word yet if he's going to push it back a week or not. I haven't talked to him yet. Please stay tuned to the Facebook page, and we'll give you an update as appropriate. Meanwhile, Sunday evening, our March Madness coverage will start with a special edition of Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com, for our good buddy Jim Williams and Mr. Rob O'Connor. They'll have the first preview of sorts before we actually get to Selection Sunday upcoming. Also, the CL Files latest episode is up on the page. Please check that out. And back to your regularly scheduled program. I'm Don Portal.
Hello, everyone. This is Robert Q. Saddleman from Game Show Garbage, and you are listening to the CLW 83 Network.
Please, please do it!
End the show.
And we're back. I have some Hall of Fame news to pass along. This hasn't been put up on Raw or SmackDown, but has been advertised on WWE.com. And if you happen to be listening to your Twitter, the two next inductees will be Bullet Bob Armstrong and Abdullah the Butcher. Now, one of the little flags that an Armstrong was going to get this opportunity is something we didn't get to touch on last week, and that was the rehiring of Scott Armstrong as a referee. He commented on his Twitter about his dad getting into the Hall of Fame.
Really?
I had picked up Scott Armstrong's Twitter during the week. I had seen him work the Chamber, and then he worked all of the California shows. I thought it was just a local deal, kind of like Nunzio was doing up in the Northeast. But it looks like Nunzio is going to be a traveling ref with them. Scott is back on board. And FCW call-up Tony Smith I saw on SmackDown this past week, and he worked the house shows in Fort Wayne and Toledo. So the ref corps is getting built right back up. But let me get back to the Hall of Fame here real quick. Abdullah the Butcher. Jason, who in the world is going to induct him, or is he just going to storm across the stage and stab Mean Gene with a fork?
That'd be fun. probably you get one some old guy to induct him. I don't know, but I know that. Let's see, Ted DiBiase's inducting Jim Duggan. We don't know who's inducting Sean. That's going to be tough.
I think Hunter and Kevin Nash are going to flip a coin backstage.
Or both of them will do half a speech and all that good stuff. I don't know. But you know what? I'm not necessarily a fan of Mr. Abdullah's work, but I know he was one of the bloodiest guys in the history of wrestling. He was hardcore before hardcore was cool.
There is nothing PG about his forehead.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with that?
I hope they give him a very large hat.
God, kids are going to start crying everywhere. That thing will give you nightmares. Good for him, though.
Let's see. Where else am I going around here? Oh, yes. So we mentioned Triple H. I'm going to sneak back over here to the cross promos about Hunter and Undertaker. Now, Hunter didn't say it for me, but Undertaker did. And it wasn't his proverbial question. And I don't know if that button's going to get found very quickly or not. Apparently not. As I've mentioned, Hunter and Undertaker have crossed paths in post-show dark matches. And the comment made that they are the last of a dying breed. The fact that these guys have been around for so long, they have seen the revolving door spin as people have come and gone. Taker's been there for,
20 plus years. Hunter's been there for 16. And then there seems to be a little bit of a gap in tenure with the backstage area. Now, Jason, you mentioned to me before the show that you feel that Triple H's speech buries the entire locker room.
Well, a lot of people thought so, because the lines he said was, there's no challenge left in the back. Doesn't that sound a little burying to you?
It's not doing anyone favors. Like, when you have guys that are coming up like Del Rio and Sheamus and Barrett and the rest of the core, and you're going to tell people back there that, like, they're not worthy enough for WrestleMania. The fans listen. That's the problem. If they tell them that this person isn't good enough, then the fans aren't, that's what they're going to believe. You tell them that Sheamus isn't good enough to be WWE champion, they don't want to see Sheamus as champion. It's a young crowd they have.
Yeah.
Very influential.
A young and impressionable crowd. But
exactly.
Are you surprised that Hunter would say something like this?
Not at all.
I'm sorry, I've just been distracted by my tassel. 2 months left. No, I'm not really surprised at this. I mean, apart from some of the relatively newer faces, namely, not faces as in baby faces, but some of the relatively newer faces, Del Rio, Barrett, the core, Punk, the rest of Punk, since that's not Punk. It seems that there's no one really left that can really draw a big Mania match with Hunter, apart from Taker. So I'm actually not surprised at all by this. Plus, it also seems like the kind of thing that Hunter would say. It just generally seems like the thing he would say.
Right. And as the gift plays in our heads of Triple H shoveling dirt into a very deep hole. Undertaker's rebuttal. Actually, I will comment a little bit about this promo. The fact that Taker was speaking a lot more naturally, closer to his biker Taker persona, and essentially telling Hunter that he's throwing everything away for the sake of trying to break the streak. And I've noticed neither one of them have commented that they did this before. Granted, it was 10 years ago. But we've been down this path.
Yeah, I was going to say, does no one remember WrestleMania 17 in Houston?
Doesn't sound like it. Especially the two especially those two, which surprises me. But it might be just because, I don't know. Jason, what's different?
Well, let's see. Triple H was the mega face back then. And
no, it wasn't.
Mega heel, excuse me. Undertaker was biker taker back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 10 years. They're now, both over 40, both respected veterans. Right? Am I missing something?
Well, I just, knowing that these two were main eventers 10 years ago, and where they are sitting right now, especially Undertaker, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
Probably the same for Hunter.
Right.
I'm just picking your brain. It's not that you're missing anything. I'm just wondering, are we missing something here?
I don't think they want their fans to know. Like, if their match was 10 years ago and you look at the crowd and they're all, you know, 9 to 12-year-olds, they're not going to remember that, you know, they've already faced each other. If you tell them that, hey, this is really big and exciting, they're going to believe it. And if it's going to feel like it's the first time for them, then that's what they want. They don't really care that people remember them from 10 years ago. They're more worried about the fans now, and the fans now don't care.
Well, Tristan, because one thing you got to remember is that in the past few video packages leading up to that have been leading up to Taker's matches, it's gone through every single match.
But they haven't mentioned it yet, though.
They haven't run that video yet.
That's the thing. Once they see that video, they might be like, oh, so this is a rematch. But up until they do that, they're not going to know because WWE's not telling them. And when you're, I don't know, like when I was only 9, 11, whatever, how old they are now, the only wrestling websites I was going on were WWE.com and WCW.com. I wasn't aware of, you know, all the dirt sheets or whatever. Like, I don't think they're going to look that much into it because they're only knowing what WWE wants them to know.
In the chat room makes the comment, having canon in the WWE is like having vegetables in the Heart Attack Cafe. No. Continuity is available as a convenience. It's not mandatory.
Ain't that the truth?
It's not much different than when you hear about Randy Orton's title reigns. Sure, we know when he won the title the first time he beat Chris Benoit, but the kids aren't going to know that.
Stop that.
No, okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
No,
I will apologize for that.
No, you're fine. That's... I want to say more about it, but I'm gonna behave myself.
What just happened?
I will say Jericho actually mentions it in his book, quite openly in his book.
I didn't mean to bring up a big debate. I was just saying that the fans are only going to know what the WWE wants them to know. That's my point. I don't want to get into the whole Benoit thing. I'm just saying that the fans are going to tell, or the WWE is going to tell the fans, Randy Orton's been the champ this many times, but they won't say who he beat the title for the first time, therefore that fact isn't important to the fans because they don't want it to be important. That's all I meant. Right now, they don't want them to think that WrestleMania 17 was important because it's 10 years ago and their fan base wasn't around 10 years ago.
No, you're absolutely 100% correct.
No, you're fine. I could also joke about the fact that Booker T did touch on the fact that he faced Edge at a WrestleMania some years ago. And conveniently forgot about the fact that they were fighting over shampoo.
Such a great match. That
and
match
way,
is so just so Edge could wrestle in Toronto at WrestleMania. There's no other reason for that match.
I thought Edge was in... Oh no, Edge and Christian had broken up by that point. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they broke up in 2001. September 2001, and then that was 2002.
They're fighting over shampoo. At
a Japanese,
match.
Yes.
And the commercial was actually put on WWE Crush Hour. So if you ever dare play this game, you will actually see the commercial.
That's awesome. It's a great commercial.
It's a horrible game, though.
I don't remember the game.
I remember the game, but it is an extremely silly game. So let's see. So speaking of silly, NXT season 4 wrapped up this past week, and granted, it was not too far from it was in my neck of the woods, but I couldn't make it out to Cleveland. Those loyal to watching NXT probably had all their chips in for Derek Bateman. Since Johnny Curtis won it, do not be disappointed. Mr. Bateman is down in Alabama getting his knee worked on. He'll be back in a few weeks.
Hope down in Alabama, and he worked on Dr. Andrews.
Let us hope Dr. Andrews lives for a long, long time, because you put it to you this way. Honestly, this guy has done for sports medicine what Helen Keller, I'm sorry, what Annie Sullivan did for Helen Keller. She's that important. He's that important, actually.
I would have to say, I'm going all the way out on the limb here. He is one of, if not the greatest arthroscopic surgeon ever.
And he needs to get some good protégés under him.
He needs better than good protégés. He needs excellent.
He needs to get the best surgical interns and residents out there.
Yeah. And a lot of them.
Absolutely, because we gotta keep the sports and the sports entertainment going. Although he might get a little bit of a break while NFL's in lockout.
Wait for
who in the hell do you think you are?
I deserve that. Oh, that's beautiful.
Give it time, that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, Carl.
The voice of reason, yes.
Carl Pierre, ladies and gentlemen, the only sane man at North American Wrestling
Club. Oh, good grief.
Maybe. So, where in the world was I?
NXT.
Yes. Okay. So there is speculation, despite the fact that Tough Enough has some really high end trainers, and they've got their people together. Which, unfortunately, I knew somebody who had a shot at it, was not picked. Seidelman said he knew somebody who had a shot and was also not picked. There's still talk that they want to do another NXT. They still want to keep going with NXT. And the going rumor is that it's going to be an all-legacy show.
Oh, fathers and sons, yeah.
I just heard something different, actually.
What'd you hear?
I heard that it's going to be like a second chances thing with like Lucky Cannon, Darren Young, Titus, I can't remember the other names. I just like read it briefly before I called in.
I don't mind. You know what? Second chances would be more interesting to me.
I think I'd see that. So the legacy stuff we can just introduce gradually, because it's fun. You know, it's fun seeing that every few months, having a legacy, you know, a second generation, third generation show up. And proud parent right behind them. I think it would be overload if we had six or seven of those going at once.
I happen to agree. Oh, and by the way, I just got a tweet in the night from Mick Foley. It said, "I Am Jericho hits the New York Times bestseller list and gets to dance with Cheryl Burke. My new answer to 'Do You Wish You Were Me?' was yes."
Yes. As Jericho adds dancing to his already extensive resume, that reads like his 1,004 holes and 1,004 opponents. The man was selected for Dancing with the Stars, and he seemed quite happy about it. I saw the video of when he was picked. He was jumping up and down like an 8-year-old. Doofus.
Oh! Wow! Heel Sparky!
It's not that bad. He's going to last a few weeks. Give me a break.
Yeah, a lot longer than he did on Celebrity Duets.
Is he going to last a few weeks?
Longer than he did on Duets. Oh, I
don't know if it'll last as long as Stacy did, but...
I don't know. Jericho's got nice legs, too.
They're not bad. I just don't think that the WWE Dancing with the Stars crossover will be as big as he's hoping for.
For a fact, I love you, Chris, but I'm probably not going to watch. Because I know that they're going to do all kinds of dancing, and the music you like, they're not going to do a mosh pit on that show. I'd watch it if they did.
I'll watch it and to see how well he'll do. That's what I usually do when a wrestler shows up on a reality show. I'll watch it until, like, they get kicked off or whatever. The only downside to this is that the times when I've done it was when Stacey Keibler was on Dancing with the Stars and she made it to the final, and when Maria was on Celebrity Apprentice and she made it to the second to last episode. So I actually get sucked in and, like, watch this whole season.
Maria was very good on Celebrity Apprentice, mind you. She was excellent.
She was. She did a great job. Too bad WWE didn't feel like capitalizing on that, but hey.
And chat room makes a valid point. When does Dancing with the Stars air again?
Monday nights, 8 till 10, I believe.
Ooh!
This could be a problem.
Yeah. Get your DVRs ready. You gotta tape one of them.
No shit.
I'm already taping Raw every week, so.
Well, and my DVR has Raw and SmackDown on it, which reminds me I need to sit down and start recording it before it decides to eat my episodes again.
So. All right, I really have... like the time zone thing. Do you guys have that?
Sorry.
Where you can, like, go to different, like, to, like, the West Coast feed, so you'll really be taping it at, like, 11 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock?
No, my DVR is only live because it's my computer.
Oh, okay.
I have satellite, but the only station I have West Coast feed for is Toon Network. What? Anyway,
Well, you know what? I'll take one for the team. I'll watch Jericho and Dancing with the Stars. And I'll let you know how it goes.
Well, if you see the mosh pit, text me immediately. I will change channels for that.
I doubt there will be a mosh pit with my experience with Dancing with the Stars, but I'll let you know. We get Raw on a delay anyway, so if I miss the first 15 minutes, I don't see how much of a difference it's going to make if I miss the first hour.
So...
I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Dancing with the Stars correspondent.
I can do this. So let's talk about another Canadian. Our dear buddy. Although I could speak of two Canadians, because it turns out that despite announcements on SmackDown that Christian was to return next week, he just happened to be in the neighborhood and saw Del Rio beating the crap out of his best friend. So yeah, Christian had to go save Edge, and Edge had a bloodied up nose for it.
I hope it's not broken.
It probably isn't. It didn't look anywhere near as bad as when Punk got his nose broken by Randy.
Oh, okay.
But after when the dust settled, Christian had tweeted, "Oh, I was supposed to return next week. My bad."
What was he at with? Torn pectoral muscle?
Torn pectoral muscle, which they had played up that Del Rio had actually tore it, putting a cross arm breaker on him.
Yeah.
He showed up at Chamber and took down Del Rio with a really, really sweet and prettier kill switch, whichever. But,
And you got the epic Booker T, quote, "Payback is a mother."
Oh, it was, and that was sweet.
Then again, I could handle Booker on commentary because every now and again he shuts Michael Cole up.
Good. Fucking hate Michael Cole.
I do too. And it's still,
oh my.
Fail yourself.
Yes. He is so unaware of how many people hate him right now.
Fail! I think he's okay.
Anyway.
So, let me run away from Michael Cole here. Touch briefly on TNA. It's in a parody of 221, which some people said was a tribute to Starrcade 97, a video package played for Sting's return, which bumped the ratings, is what you told me, Jason?
Yeah, it was a 1.36. Which is very interesting to TNA. I think this Immortal Fortune feud is actually starting to stick, believe it or not. Hmm. And I think that I also think it's partially the train wreck thing, just a little bit, because they're getting some good stuff there. I mean, the fact that Sting comes in, walks in, and crushes Jeff Hardy like a bug, to be honest, squashes him, and wins the title in one night. Quite interesting to me.
Okay, question. How is Sting coming in and beating Jeff Hardy for the title in one night any different than Triple H coming back and taking out Sheamus? How come Jeff Hardy just got squashed, whereas Sheamus got buried?
Because Jeff Hardy's going to jail.
Yeah.
Why aren't they burying him? Why was that just a straight up squash? Like, there's different terms mean different things, and that just seems like the same thing to me. But people are taking the one out of proportion, and the other one's like, oh, whatever.
I don't take it out of proportion because, honestly, the way Sheamus has been booked over the last few weeks has been booked basically as a puss, okay? Whereas Jeff Hardy has been booked for a long, long time as someone who could wrestle and win the championship at any night. There's a difference, a legitimate difference. And TNA is putting their money on a guy who may go to jail for 5 to 7 years.
And he has a newborn baby. Awesome.
And their roster has lost a valuable member, as Sharkboy has asked for and was granted his release.
Sharky, we knew you well.
And it wasn't over money. Sharky got all his money from Disney. He don't need to work another day in his life.
For Disney?
Do you remember Disney released a movie called Sharkboy and Lava Girl? And
lawsuit!
And so Sharky said, you know what? I've got my trademark all the way up and down. And they're like, oh, shit. I said, yeah. And they ponied up an undisclosed amount, but this is Disney. It's a pretty number.
No, really? They actually did pay him?
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
So, let's see. How much time do I have left, Mr. Carl? A minute? Minute and a half, maybe?
Two, three.
Probably something. Okay. Now, let's see, did I miss anything? I think we hit everything that I wanted to hit. So, Jason, do you have anything to plug?
Actually, I do. This is the last weekend where anybody who wants to vote for GameshowNewsNet.com as the best unofficial website can go to gameshows.about.com and vote for us once a day throughout the entire weekend. And if we get enough votes, we become the winner. We're down to the five finalists, and please vote early and every day. So, please.
BRM, I'm sure you have something to push.
RPI Men's Hockey takes game one in our first round series against Colgate. Next game tomorrow night, 7 p.m. We win. We're going to Cornell for the quarterfinals.
Krista, do you have anything to push?
Not really. I'm on Twitter at 521, all spelled out. And I guess I'll be back when Jericho's got his dancing shoes on.
What would be great, maybe you could do like a weekly report, you know, a vocal, record it and send it. Carl would like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll call in and do a quick report because this is international calling, so I won't be able to stay on the line for too long.
And I hopefully will have my website back up and running with some of my new recruits, but I will not be including the cruddy picture of John Cullen that I took in Toledo. But that's all right. I think we're already in archives, but that's okay. That's the way our show runs, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much.
So, guys, this has always been a blast. And Trista, thank you.
Absolutely.
For coming to the show, and I will probably pester you relentlessly, or you please text me when you have when you want to come on and talk to us about Jericho's dancing.
Absolutely. I also just sent you a really funny message on, I don't know, AIM or whatever. I think you should check it out because you'll laugh so hard. I cried when I first found out, so I think you'll laugh.
I just saw that. And do you want me to announce this?
No, it's okay.
is this too personal?
No, it's just something stupid, a girly thing.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you later. Only thing I've got is that tomorrow I'm going to work the Warren Purdue Memorial Show. This is a show that referee and wrestler Tom Bellman, a gentleman local to my area, runs every year in honor of fallen wrestlers, named after a wrestler who passed on from cancer about 6 years ago.
Oh, boy.
But we have, you know, a lot of people are going in with other wrestlers on their minds. Bad Seed, the wrestler who committed suicide here a couple of months ago, Matt Riott, J.C. Bailey, just the fact that we have lost so many people in the last year has been crazy.
Trent Acid.
Yeah.
Got it. I work with Trent, by the way. Did I ever tell you that story? Worked with him in a couple of independent shows in Jersey and Delaware. When I worked with him and Johnny Cashmere as part of the, I believe they were called the Backseat Boys. Got to work with them, and they were nothing short of fantastic. Unfortunately, I heard later in life from a guy who's one of my best buds and was a photographer for NWS in Jersey, there were points where he couldn't stand up at the end, Trent, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trent was, what, 24 when he passed?
I think a little older, like 28 or so.
He was 29.
Oh, God.
Still too young.
Oh, God.
And that's what I mean. We've been through a lot of, you know, there's a lot of that that's going on down here, not just workers, but people are losing family members. One of the ring announcers in our area, Hooks, lost his father and a brother within 2 months.
Oh, fuck.
And, you know, I'm blessed that I have not had, you know, I've not had to go through that yet. you know, just to, you know, just the fact that, you know, Jim's going through, has been going through a rough, has had a rough go the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what this show's pretty much about. This is a celebration of, you know, of wrestling in our area. We are going to have some huge guests. Al Snow will be attending. Shark Boy will also be there.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, Al's daughter lives in the general area. She is happily married to astonishing Aaron Williams.
Okay.
Excellent wrestler in this area. She's been talking about it. We're going to have a bunch of the Cincinnati area guys are going to be there. Our other big name will be HWA's own Cody Hawk. We'll be working the show. I am scheduled to manage. I couldn't tell you who I'm managing just yet, but I'm going to be on their doorstep a little before 5. Bell time is 5:30, and we're going to have some fun.
Is this sort of like wrestlers give their time sort of deal?
Pretty much. All the proceeds from this goes to a scholarship fund in Will Perdue's name.
Outstanding. Very cool.
So, this is one show a year that nobody minds working for free. Now we just need to keep enough people here for the teardown, damn it.
That's impossible.
I've been there for that. It's like, yeah. Hey. Hey, we need your help. Get out of your suit. I was like, okay.
Well, no, I go through this too because when I work at IWA, I'm usually, you know, I usually stick around after the show for a little bit, and you know, I go up to Bull. Do you want me to, you know, do you need some help with teardown? He's like, you know, I don't ask you, because he doesn't ask any of the gals. Now that there's three or four of us back there, because it's me and Raven Nevermorte and Angelina Rose, we're never asked to do teardown. I just do it. And to the workers that at IWA, when Bear comes with me, he pays to come in, he watches the show, he helps us tear down. That's wrong. The fans aren't supposed to be doing tear down. The workers are supposed to be tearing this down.
I did tear down a couple of months ago. It was horrible. I just got my wisdom teeth out. There was, like, no air conditioning in this room. I was, like, dying. So I was friends with one of the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
Those friends. But, yeah, and he's like, you really need to help out. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, I'm not in the business. He's like, yeah, but we get out faster. And I'm like, then I'm sick. And my face is, you know, all puffy and disgusting looking. And, it was horrible. I never want to be a wrestler.
The only thing that I can do with my back, because my back is fucked, excuse my language, is I can do planks, you know, on my shoulder for the ring. And I can do the mats that go underneath, okay? Anything else I leave to the stronger, dumber people, no offense. Because that shit is heavy.
Well, and they have me carrying stuff, it's usually, you know, I have somebody helping me with a piece. You know, whether it's the planks, the straight-up boards, the metal rods, I don't touch the ring post.
Well, I just the chairs and being taken down.
Jason, yeah, you're the only one with a messed up back.
Yeah.
And I've got a screwed up neck, so I gotta watch it. I think the heaviest I can go is a set of ring ropes.
Mm.
So, all right. I think I'm gonna let some of these people go to bed.
Yeah, there you go. All
right.
You know what I just realized?
What's that?
We didn't talk about the divas.
Who cares?
Good point. Just I throw it out there.
Well, not much to talk about, and Typho's not here, so he'll be disappointed. But if he was here, he would have kept us on track.
Do you think Leigh Cole's going to break up before WrestleMania or after?
After.
I didn't watch SmackDown, and personally, I don't fucking care.
I was impressed she's out there working with her foot in a boot, with her foot in a custom boot for whatever happened to it. She didn't work the house shows over the weekend. Layla was out there soloing and bumping like crazy for Beth Phoenix.
In a boot.
In a boot, yeah.
Jeez. Well, I mean, I heard a WrestleMania rumor that there's going to be a sort of a mixed six-way between, what was it, Trish, Kelly, and I forget who the guy in the...
Morrison.
And Morrison.
Oh. Okay.
Versus
Ziggler and Laycool. But again, that's all speculation.
That speculation is stupid. It sounds horrible.
I'm taking it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Well, I mean, PW Insider had... Well, let me ask you this. One of the writers said that Undertaker Triple H was planned since last August. Do you buy that?
I buy it.
I would.
I buy it just because, like I said, I've seen video... There's dark match footage out there of these bits and pieces of promos that pretty much have shown up in what Triple H and Undertaker have said this week. And so, you know, I wasn't surprised. I'm actually kind of happy that this year we get to square off one more time.
Me too.
It'll be fun. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you had Shawn Michaels, Triple H. 24 was Undertaker, Edge.
Right.
23 was Batista.
Right.
And 22 was
Mark Henry.
Orton.
Mark Henry.
Okay. So, and 21 was Orton, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 20 was Kane.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back the last, you know, 8 years. He's only had really one dog in 8 years, if you want to give it that.
And
that was many matches.
Yeah, the Mark Henry casket match.
Right. So, I mean, look, Undertaker, I mean, it's awesome that he could put on matches like this once a year. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, you got people who are going to look at him and basically say, you know, he's invincible, at least at WrestleMania.
I just wonder at what point did someone actually notice that he was undefeated? And they're like, hey, we should make this into a storyline. And now it's like every year at WrestleMania, it's the same storyline with The Undertaker. Like, was it like 7 or 8 matches in and they're like, wow, he's never lost at WrestleMania. That's pretty cool. And then like 10 WrestleManias in, still hasn't lost. And they're like, we should do something with this.
I think it started, with Sid, I believe.
13, yeah.
When it sort of started to manifest itself, I would think.
Because I know, like, for as long as I've been watching, and I know it's not as long as other people, but I know it's always been the streak, and it's always like, oh, he's going to have a chance to beat it this year. And then probably not.
Well, I mean, the only people left that I think that there's only one Undertaker match left for him to do.
And that's
Cena.
Which is?
Again.
Cena.
Oh.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Because Undertaker Jericho has already been done, unfortunately, on free TV. Okay.
Yeah, but I would have paid good money to see that in Mania.
Oh, me too. But there's only one real Undertaker dream match left, and that's Cena. And I don't know if they're going to do that. I don't think they'll ever pull it off.
No, I don't think they will. Which is a shame. I'd be curious to see where that would go. And which incarnation of Jericho would have to deal with Taker. Although, I would, you know, I know that they did it on free TV, but I wonder how Taker Punk would play in a WrestleMania setting.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned to our good buddy Ethan Musson, who was in the chat tonight, I think after he gets 20-0, he'll be done.
Yeah.
I think that's when they'll do the Cena match next year.
You think
makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, and I still
Cena has a pretty good Mania record himself, doesn't he?
Let's see. Has Cena lost at Mania?
Not that I'm aware of it. Maybe a triple threat match against Triple H and Orton?
Well, let's see. Last year at Mania, he beat Big Show, correct? No, wait.
Mm-hmm.
No,
you're thinking of 04.
No, wait a minute. I don't even know. Who the hell did he beat? Because I know...
He won last year.
Let's go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Go to Wiki!
Oh, jeez.
26 was
Batista. It was Batista.
Okay.
25 was Legend Show.
Right.
24 was Triple Threat with Triple H and Orton.
Where he lost there.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
23, 22, he beat Hunter. 21, he beat
JBL.
JBL won the belt first time.
And then 20 was Big Show for the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
And 19, and 19 he wasn't on it.
Yeah.
He did the Jay-Z cutout at 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. He rapped against Jay-Z. That's right. He didn't wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wrapped against Jay-Z, air quotes. Jay-Z.
Right. So he's only lost one match at WrestleMania.
That's not bad.
Mm-mm.
Edge is doing good until they had him face Taker.
Well,
and then he hasn't won since.
Well, he technically lost Money in the Bank at 2020, but he was
technically he didn't because he wasn't in the ring when the bell rung at the end, so... I don't count that as a loss nor a win.
You mean when Jeff effing Hardy just went crazy and got him out early?
Hey, you know what I talked about leading up to that, if you played the WWE fantasy game at the time, was that Edge was worth $5 million and you only had $30 million to spend for the week. And I kept buying Edge, but I didn't know at the time that Edge had a dislocated jaw. So he wasn't wrestling every week, so the only points he would be getting were appearance points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're into the game as much as I was, that's something that would piss you off a whole lot, because it was a lot of money just not being done with anything.
I was just remembering the spot with Edge, you know, on the crossways ladder, Jeff at the top of the ladder going, I could win the match, I could do something cool, I could win the match, I could do something cool. And Matt on the ground going, Jeff, look! Oh, that's cool.
Splat.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I remember my dad watching that, because, like, I love Edge, like, you don't even know. And I'm watching it with my dad, and my dad was like, ha, ha. And I was like, no, he'll come back at the end of the match and win it. And then he didn't. And then my dad made fun of me even more.
Although I will have to admit... one of the best WrestleMania entrances in the history came in that particular WrestleMania. Which was the stunt driver driving through the window and then Cena coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which we couldn't see from our seats, but...
But if you check it on video, the entrance is great. I mean, that's basically, he's driving a Mustang GTH, which is a Hurst Mustang.
Mm.
With the special limited edition with the yellow and black piping on the side. Not that I'm a car guy or anything.
Oh,
yeah. He is. They say he's got like over 20 muscle cars in his collection.
Yeah, I'm talking about me, not Cena.
Oh, okay.
No, Cena is definitely a car guy. I don't know what his wife has to say about it, but Cena's a car guy.
Hmm.
I'm sure the wife isn't saying anything, because I bet a couple of those cars have her name on them, too. So.
Yes, indeed.
I think she gets a say sometimes in what the money goes towards, and as long as her name is on it, there isn't really much of a problem. Hey. I wonder what that prenup looks like.
That's
interesting.
There's a little zero in there. Hopefully Cena wasn't stupid enough not to sign a prenup.
I don't think Edge ever signed one. It's just a shame. That's two ex-wives he has to pay off now.
Unlike a certain someone who's got five.
Is that Flair? Five?
Ooh! Yes. Five. Four or five.
Something like that.
He's a nut boy.
Nature boy.
Yeah, but the funny thing is now when he says, well, I want, you know, when he says things on the pro, like, if he would have stayed with me in the hotel room, we would have had this over, I don't look at it as a guy who thinks he's sexy. I just find him as the creepy old dude.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
There was one thing that Jelly didn't touch upon. The Bret Hart versus Hogan Twitter feud this past week.
Oh, what's up with that?
I'm pretty sure their 16-year-old daughters took over their accounts.
Oh, come on.
Well, just the fact that the two of them are dogging on each other for various things, and at one point Graziano actually got, poked his nose in.
Who's he?
And essentially, Graziano, the father of the kid who was in the car,
when Nick Hogan crashed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And essentially called Hogan a dick.
He speaks the truth.
And Hogan backed away like a coward.
Yeah. He's like, okay, checkmate. Nice talking to you, Brett.
And that's why I posted the picture that I posted on that page. I went and got Captain M.A.'s sticker, Bret Hart with the trophy with Hogan standing next to him going,
And there's that whole thing too with Jeremy Bullrash telling that one fan that his family should die or whatever, apparently.
I heard about that, but I didn't know the context.
That's all I got. I'm not too sure what happened. I don't follow anything with TNA. But
I follow a few tweets here and there. I mean, I follow JB.
Yeah.
JB is very entertaining.
JB's also very personable, too, as I found out last year.
He's a good guy. I mean, he's a real stand-up guy, talking with fans and putting up with our nonsense.
Yes.
And he was personable enough to get me a hell of a picture with him at a particular house show where he was, this is when he was walking around. At the house shows, he usually stays on the house mic and talks to everybody. Or, hypes whatever's going on. And I managed to talk him into taking a picture with me. But he turned the microphone off, but it does look like I'm cutting a promo.
Hmm. I regret not getting a picture with him.
But yeah, he's a real stand-up guy. He put, like I said, he puts up with the fan nonsense.
To a point, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, But I've noticed that some wrestlers do get a little touchy, but justified. I mean, I was flipping around on Twitter today, and I saw Goldust saying, "Why aren't you reading my tweets? I'm hurt. I'm in rehab. If you're not reading my tweets,
yeah.
Chill the fuck out." Oh, and speaking of tweets, I thought the C Nation was a little bit hypocritical, personally.
Of course they are. They're children.
Yeah.
What do they know?
Yeah, what do they know?
Not much. Basically,
yeah, right.
Twitterverse basically said, Rock didn't show up on TV. He's not real. You watch as you show up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm serious.
I know. I saw it too, dude.
I mean, I called Cena out. I said, you're a hypocrite and so are your fans, because you go into a movie every week. Whenever you shout out, you appeared on Satellite too.
But he's only done that once or twice, because even when he's shooting a movie, he still makes most of his show dates.
But his traveling schedule is crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure people would literally die if they had his schedule, but the dude is seriously Superman, and he just sucks it up and goes with it.
Mm.
So, with that, I like the suggestion I saw on WrestleCrap that for his entrance this year, he walks out wearing glasses and a suit. They put a phone booth somewhere on the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, good work.
Walks into the phone booth, takes the suit off, and walks out in brand new red and blue gear.
Oh, that'd be funny as fuck.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I will be disappointed with anything else at this point.
That poster is
winning.
Yeah,
that's something to cover upcoming. What kind of interests are we going to see from everybody?
I don't know.
Alberto Del Rio is going to have the most pimped out car in the history of pimped out cars.
Oh, yeah. He's going to come out. You know what he's going to come out in? He's going to come out in a Bugatti Veyron.
Yeah, that one.
Whoa.
That sounds fancy.
No.
Very fancy. There you go.
It is a 1,500 horsepower, $2 million sports car.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll do that up for Mania for sure.
They're going to get someone in Atlanta to borrow a Bugatti Veyron and for him to drive it.
I bet Cena owns one.
No, that's not Cena's style.
Oh.
Cena's more Mickey's style. Mickey's like the 67 Camaro SS with the 427 big block V8.
See, I know nothing about cars, so my next question to all of these will be, what color is it?
There you go. By the way, Trisha, do you have a car?
No, I share one with my mom.
Okay.
Same here.
Okay.
It's silver, by the way.
That's the color of my car, so yeah.
Mine's black.
Mine's silver too.
I love the Super Cena entrance. You know what I think? Undertaker's going to come out with, like, a bunch, maybe on horseback.
If not on horseback, they'll do the... No, he might do horseback. And I looked, and I beheld a pale horse and death with his rider. Wahahaha.
Yeah,
anything to speed up the entrance.
Right. Oh, and by the way, I will just say...
Put Undertaker in a car. Put him in a hearse and speed that fucker down that ramp.
like he did with the bike in WrestleMania X7 the first time.
Seriously, if his entrance takes longer than 45 seconds, I'm going to be pissed.
It will probably.
They take way too long.
What was awesome was when he can. I love the story because I have the Undertaker by yard. He comes down there, and he's barreling down that ramp at about 100. And he's like, wait a minute. Oh, fuck. I've got to stop. Oh, my God. Undertaker's a biker. Big time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I wonder if Hunter will bust out his King Conan gear again.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I missed that Mania. It's like one of the only ones I haven't ordered in like the last, fuck, 13 years, I think.
And what? By the way, what is your cable is Rogers, if I'm asking?
I'm on Shaw.
Shaw, okay.
Yeah.
So,
not cable.
I'm sorry?
It's not Rogers.
Okay.
It's kind of more like a local thing.
Local thing. Okay. So, and they have the pay-per-view, they have all the major pay-per-views and all that?
Oh, yeah. yeah, they had Dragon Gate for a bit. Like, they're pretty good when it comes to pay-per-view, so I'll definitely be watching it for sure. My brother and I almost didn't get the Rumble because of how much he hates Michael Cole.
By the way, how much is it in Canada?
Same price.
But in Canadian dollars.
Too much.
So you think it'll be $64.95 in HD, right?
That sounds about right. That sounds messy. We don't get it in HD just so we don't have to pay whatever, $75 or whatever the fuck it is. It's just way too much and it's not worth it.
Yeah, to flip a coin. Well, actually, it's going to depend on how many people show up.
It's just me and my brother from Mania.
Well, I am definitely going to watch it this year. It's going to be a really solid card.
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have Bear come over. My friend Victor's going to come over. I don't think I'm going to get too many other people. But if I can get one or two more people in and they all donate.
Nikki, I'm going to come over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and my cordless battery's about to die, so I'm going to hang up, guys. Enjoy, okay?
Have a good night. All right.
All right, buddy.
Good night, Tristan. Good call. VRM and everybody else. So, and you too, Nikki. Sorry. Talk to you later, okay?
Night.
Night.
Night. Good night. Oh, dear.
And VRM's gone.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna be disappearing in a few minutes too, like we were supposed to do about 10 minutes ago, but
that's all right.
It's good conversation.
Life, so it's all good.
But Carl, I'll let you know that, yes, I finally have all of my internets in order, so I will actually be able to run the show next week.
All right, cool. Just hit me up, and I'll send all the info. And I'll...
So, yay. And I apologize. It took me over a month to actually host my own damn show.
That's all right. But, yeah, I'm always there if you need me for backup use.
Okay, no, I appreciate it. At this point, it's just been silly the fact that, first of all, I wasn't even here for the first two shows. Then I've had stuff going on Fridays.
It happens.
I know. Good news is it's not going to happen for the next couple of weeks because next Friday, nothing, and the Friday after that, I'm not even working. I'm going to sleep in and spend the day with the cats and just tell the whole world to go away.
It's the best thing ever.
It is.
I love it.
And I'll actually get to do that Sunday. But I'm saving that Friday so that I can do that. Everybody can go away.
So. Should I do that now?
On that note, I'm not trying to tell people to go away, but...
But I definitely don't want you to be here anymore.
You don't have to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
Ew.
So, no, this was a blast, guys, and, I love doing the show, and you two, along with anybody else who might actually listen to this, makes it worthwhile.
No problem.
I was just thinking, like, if it's good with you guys, like, I will watch Jericho on Dancing with the Stars. And, like, I won't mind calling in to talk about it for a bit, but if I'm going to be doing that for as long as he's on there, I'll probably only be able to do that part. Like, I don't think I should stick around for, like, the other hour, because it's international calling from here.
No, that's fine, because, we can have you on for a couple minutes if you want to just give us the recap. That's perfectly fine. We do that with...
Yeah, like, at the very beginning, I'll be like, blah, 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 blah. See you next week.
There you go.
That'll work, because VRM does that for UFC. Seidelman's been poking his head in, with the road reports, like he did a couple Fridays ago when he was traveling, when he'd come all the way over here and traveled with me to an indie show.
Mm-hmm.
Called him with his road report being an absolute doofus.
There you go. She said it, Rob, not me.
You are, Rob. You are a doofus.
But a cute one.
Oh, no. It's cool to be a doofus, but blowing up my phone over an eBay auction, dude.
a bit much.
yeah, okay.
So, all right, I'm going to go get some sleep, and I suggest you guys do the same.
I think I might take you up on that advice.
Yeah, same here.
Okay, all right. Night, everyone.
Nice to meet you, Carl. Thanks again.
Good night. CLWA3.com is finally updated. Please visit that. Also, click on the left side when you go to it. On the Block Talk Radio portion, you'll find the info for all our shows, including this one.